Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine. You know, I am so excited today about this guest because I personally have had vision problems for the last like 12 years of my life. Prior to that, I had the best eyesight. I really prided myself. I had like hawk vision. I had really good close-up vision. I just was like indestructible eyes. It was incredible. And then the classic, you know, time that they tell you that you're going to have issues with eyesight, which is usually 40 years old, they say, for the average person with healthy eyes. That, you know, you hit 40 and you're just going to need glasses. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I just thought, okay, well, it's just age related. And I hated that answer because, you know me, I'm always digging for things. I'm like, no, I don't buy that. I don't buy that that's age. And all this time, I've really never met anyone. I mean, a lot of people say that, you know, liver health and eye health are connected, but no one's ever really given me any kind of data or science or even explanation as to why that is and how that works. And finally, I meet this incredible person who you're gonna love, who knows so much about the root causes of vision and eye problems. And so please enjoy this episode. You're going to really dig her. And I think you should hire her because she's got some great things that she offers that we will talk about at the end of this episode. And I just went down the rabbit hole of your work and then that book that you take your glasses off and see. And
oh, I love that book.
Yeah.
So good, right?
It's really good. And I actually read most of it on the way on the airplane to Florida and,
oh, really?
Yeah. And was giving myself all these tasks to try and do without my glasses. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the things I've always said to every doctor that I've gone, every optometrist and mm-hmm. ophthalmologist that I have gone to see was, even my glasses don't feel like they correct my vision. I still feel like mm-hmm. I struggle anyway. Mm-hmm. And they never really have anything contribute to that. They often just say, mm-hmm. well, it's, you know, it's age related and that's the way it is. But I just know, and I know that eye health and liver health and thyroid health are deeply connected. So I'm super excited to jump in and just talk about all that with you. So let's start. Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
So what a lot of people don't realize is that the prescription that you get in the optometrist's office is like your worst case visual scenario vision. And really vision should be like a dynamic thing where your eye is correcting for the distance that it's seeing at. So the problem with being over minus is that it causes like a spasm of your accommodation when you're wearing like the really strong glasses to do close work. And sometimes what can happen is that can actually cause you to get worse. So one of the things that patients tell clients this enough is that they really cannot wear their distance glasses for near work because that's just going to like make your eyesight get a lot worse.
So like progressives, for example, that have mm-hmm. both. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And like progressives are kind of bad too, because what it does is it locks your eye into a certain position. So healthy eyes are moving around a lot. And what the progressive does is it only allows you to see through a really narrow window of space. Mm-hmm. And when you restrict the eye movement, you actually also restrict your access to emotions and because eye movements are really connected to like your emotional well-being as well. Mm-hmm. So in a way it's kind of like visual confinement.
Wow. So if it was very classic for me where I literally my 40th birthday was trying to read the menu out at dinner for my birthday. And I was like, uh-oh. And the next day I realized, I think I need to go to get my eyes checked. And
And it was just, the doctor was like, yeah, that's just classic, you know, eye age. And then got the glasses. And then they said, you're going to have to get them stronger really soon, because when you're 40, it exponentially gets worse. Now you're saying that that could be because of the glasses.
Well, yeah, because the lens is supposed to be very flexible. Mm-hmm. And so when the ciliary muscle is relaxed, the lens is flat. So it has to do with a lot about relaxation, and also just the fact that as we age, the lens can kind of stiffen up and become less flexible. But there are things that you can do to prevent this from happening, like not doing too much near work. And like, if you're on the computer, it's really good to look far away every like 20 minutes or so. Because what happens is, if the lens isn't needing to look in the distance as much, it's kind of going to lose that ability.
Wow.
So the eye is kind of like, use it or lose it.
Hmm. Now this book that, that you recommended to me, I mean, it based, and your information that you sent to me as well, it really just gives you this, well, it says you don't need glasses. Like, you really can regain your eyesight. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So, one of the most important things for vision that a lot of people don't realize, because the eyes are so connected to the brain, they're actually an outgrowth of brain tissue. Embryologically, when you're developing, that's what, it's the same neural tissue that forms the brain that forms the eye. So what a lot of people don't realize is that you're not seeing with your eyes, you're actually seeing with the brain. So the brain, you can think of the eyes as just like a medium to get to the brain. So a lot of people who develop myopia, it's partially because of the light input, because if you're getting too much blue light, that actually causes the choroid to thicken. And then the other thing the blue light does is it affects the dopamine signaling, which controls the growth of your eye. Mm-hmm. So with myopes, the eye is often grows too long. And going along with that, there's also like emotional aspects to it. So myopes are often kind of like inward thinking. They're a bit fearful. Oftentimes, like, something traumatic happens to them before they become nearsighted. And also a lot of times they're just doing a lot of near work. And they've actually found that even just like 1 hour of one extra hour outdoors a week can reduce the risk of myopia by over like 15%.
Huh.
So with myopia, you really have to focus on the peripheral vision and not focusing too heavily on the central vision, because myopes love to fixate on what's right in front of them. When you're in fight or flight mode, you really only care about what's right in front of you, and the periphery doesn't matter, because that's all that would matter if you're threatened and you're under stress. So that's why a lot of myopes are very heavily focused in the central vision. So you kind of have to relearn how to use your eyes again, and relearn how to have, you know, relaxed, effortless vision.
Yeah, that's fascinating, because, you know, we talk a lot about thyroid function and hypothyroid and using our emergency hormones and, you know, keeping us in fight or flight when we have hormone imbalance. And so many women are using their emergency hormones. So that would also mean we're focusing on just using that central vision in that way. And you may not even feel like you're under stress, but because you are so used to running off of that adrenaline and cortisol and epinephrine and all of that, that you're just I always use myself as an example, because I was like that classic sort of like hyper, and still have to really fight through that. So that means even just my natural way that I am or was is that fight or flight person. And so that was contributing to my poor eyesight as well.
For sure. Yeah. And even for me, I noticed like this happened to me, because I actually became myopic right after like a very kind of traumatic situation in my life, where I was away from my family for the first time at summer camp. And it was like really hard for me to, adapt to that situation. And then right after that, I developed myopia, which is really interesting to make that connection.
How old were you?
I was like 12 years old.
Oh, wow. And have you ever worn glasses?
Yes, I have a small prescription, which makes me think that it was more about like the habits and not really the growth of the eye. I mean, the eyes aren't fully developed by the time you're 12, but the earlier you get it, typically the more of like a genetic nutritional light imbalance component there is.
Okay.
Because I think there's so many different factors that go into it. The genetic aspect is interesting. I think it's probably more of like the nutritional download that you got from mom and like how much fat soluble vitamins were available to you. Even like the copper download. I think that's an interesting correlation there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's crazy because so many people are able to reverse it. So I know it's possible.
Yeah.
But I think with everyone, you know, there's different components and there's different factors that go into it. But a big, big factor that everyone can work on is the relaxation component and the habits. So a lot of people have really bad habits with their vision. Mm-hmm. So they're staring at something, they're squinting, their posture. So if you have a head tilt or, you know, some sort of issue looking with the down, posture and you're like looking down all the time, and then like the forward head posture and the way that the palate actually grows impacts how the eye sockets grow. And that also impacts. Yeah. So a lot of kids who are like mouth breathers, that's changing the face shape. And then that's also going to impact your eyes and how the eyes develop.
Interesting.
So there are so many things you can do though. So, you know, going to the chiropractor, craniosacral therapy. People have even told me like pelvic floor therapy and like functional neurology really help their astigmatism. Because your posture is so connected to like how your head posture is, and that affects the eye posture.
Interesting. You know, that reminds me of when I first had my first eye exam. I was diagnosed with astigmatism and I didn't want to do anything about it because I didn't feel like I had a problem. And my yoga teacher said inversions and headstands can actually correct stigmatisms. And so I was doing the craziest amount of head scanning on my head all the time. And then I did go back, like, I think it was like a year or two later, and I didn't have astigmatism. And in fact, when I finally went for the 40-year checkup, there was no stigmatism. So I'm thinking that had corrected.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So I actually recommend a lot of people take the astigmatism out of their glasses if it's low enough. If it's below like 75, like minus 0.75, you actually don't even really need it because you're probably not going to notice a difference with it or without it. But yeah, so the astigmatism, when it's in your glasses, it actually locks in the twist in your body.
Oh, really?
So basically, it's tightening up the muscles and it's like locking in the tension pattern. So any twists in the body, because you have the astigmatism, the eye is going to want to stay, or the head tilt is going to want to stay in the same place because that relates to the eye tilt. And the astigmatism is really just telling you where the prescription is in terms of like the access of it. So it's basically saying most of your prescription is in the 180th meridian. So that would be like the horizontal meridian straight across versus like, as we age, what happens is the astigmatism goes more towards the 90th meridian, and that is the up and down meridian. So straight across, up and down. And so I think the reason why that happens is probably because as the eye deteriorates, the shape of the eye actually changes. And so I think that affects the astigmatism. And that's why older individuals have more prescription in the 90th meridian.
Interesting. So let's go back to, I want to talk more about the nutrition concept. And you said the copper download from the mother and all the, you know, nutritional deficiencies, probably including the microbiome download and the copper concept. So would you say that is just a copper dysregulation, or would you say specifically it's like a copper excess
I think it's more of a dysregulation. I actually do like a a lot of bioresidence eye scans on clients. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time I do see iron coming up because iron is inducing oxidative stress.
Okay.
So with the copper, so basically the copper enzymes are also damaged by excess iron. So basically you can help restore this by restoring energy in the body. So things like blue light are going to be really detrimental. Maybe the mom was like getting a ton of blue light and that was also affecting it because blue light resonates at the frequency of iron. And maybe
really?
Not get,
that's amazing.
And not getting enough red light and sunlight. And also the cytochrome oxidase, which is one of the enzymes that gets damaged by stress and blue light, is also really, it, you have to support that with thyroid and progesterone.
Whoa. Okay. Well, so this goes, this of course brings up the Morley Robbins.
Yeah.
Right. With the vitamin A and retinol and how, mm-hmm. and you know, when I think of vitamin A, like back when I went to nutritional school and even before that, you know, you think vitamin A, you think eye health, at least that's what would come up in my head. And that makes sense because mm-hmm. the vitamin A helps contribute to the balance of ceruloplasmin, which then is mm-hmm. going to help balance out that toxic iron. I don't want to go too off the rails on this, but because yeah. it always comes up in my podcast, what do you sure, say yeah. to women who say, well, I'm anemic and I have loads I take iron, but it's yeah. not helping. Yeah. What would
so
you say?
So I would, my first question is always like, were you on birth control? Because the birth control, I think in all my clients that have taken birth control, I always see major iron dysregulation. And then also look at what were you raised on? Were you raised on iron fortified foods? Most of us were.
Yeah.
I know I was. So I would just really look back to your childhood and like what your diet was like. And if you, once you realize that, and like, did you grow up eating like the cereal and the Pop-Tarts that just literally have iron shavings in them? And it's like, what were you getting any copper in your diet? You know, were you eating beef liver? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I think that's really what it comes down to. And then once you realize that, you realize like how deficient you probably are in copper.
Right. So it goes to a whole systemic, you know, deficiency and dysregulation where a lot of people will say, well, just to, especially the optometrists who I've seen, they would say, if they say it at all, they would mm-hmm. say, you know, take lutein and zeaxanthin and astaxanthin.
Yes.
And how are those helpful in the grand scheme of what we're talking yeah. about now?
So it's interesting because that is one of like their main recommendations, right? Because they say that this is going to protect your eyes from blue light. And they say like, these are like the macular pigment and it's heavily pushed. I think food sources of this are going to be fine as well as like your, as long as like your thyroid is working properly. Because I think too much of it can suppress the thyroid and as well as the problem it with the blue light. So if you're getting a lot of blue light, so basically blue light toxicity plus carotenoids leads to circadian rhythm disruption and mitochondrial disease. Mm. So I think it's really about context in this situation. I think it really depends on the person. I think synthetic carotenoids are no good.
Would like, but like what is that? Like a supplement that would have synthetic
carotenoids? Yeah, so like lutein, zeaxanthin. They're also putting like mesoxanthine in them now, which is kind of weird because like, we don't even know if that one's even supposed to be there. We just, we know it's there in the retina, but we don't even know if it's supposed to be there.
Mm.
So it's kind of weird that they're putting like mesoxanthine and they're putting all these different like metabolites of it now into the supplements, which I think could be dangerous because we don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
So I think depending on, you know, the thyroid state, that's how much of these kind of carotenoids you can tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
And also you have to be converting the carotenoids into retinol. So a lot of people struggle with that conversion.
So that's what's ultimately happening is you're converting it to vitamin A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's what should be happening.
That is just so funny. I just never made that connection, because that's kind of like where they say, okay, well, just eat. Like vegans and vegetarians will say, I get plenty of vitamin A from my carrots mm-hmm. and my sweet potatoes and whatnot. And then the concept is, well, if you can convert those into retinol, mm-hmm. great. But most yeah. people have gut dysbiosis and really can't do that yeah, at the exactly. at the gut anyway. And certainly that was me. I remember Morley when I was anemic, quote unquote, and I had the craziest addiction to carrots. Like, I've never heard of mm-hmm. such a thing.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, my hands turned orange. There's pictures of me and I look like a Oompa Loompa, but I couldn't even get out of the grocery store without eating the carrot and opening the bag. Wow. And he
said, really interesting.
Yeah. And he said, it was brilliant. Morley's got so many nuggets of genius. And he said, I think that you were just desperately trying to convert those carrots yeah. into retinol.
And then the other problem with it is that too much carotenoids can actually block the formation of melanin. And melanin, your main protector. So actually melanin is more protective than carotenoids. The problem
protective
is
of the eyes?
For the eye. Yeah.
Okay.
But the problem with the melanin is that it's an iron trapping agent. So the melanin gets tied up trapping iron and is not able to do its job as a master absorber of the visible light spectrum. And it's also a really good superconductor of electricity in the central nervous system. And it's a source of mitochondrial energy. So what people don't realize is that they haven't told them about melanin, and that freeing up their melanin is probably going to be better for them than, you know, taking these synthetic supplements.
You just blew my mind in two ways. One, because just what you said is like, that makes perfect sense. But also the whole concept of melasma and having too yes. much iron, toxic iron in yes. the tissues, and then it blocking up the melanin in your skin and creating melasma. Yeah. And what causes that more than anything? The birth control pill or Medicaid.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, what's interesting is that a lot of people, I've been looking into this because I see it so often. And I was just like, what is the cause of this? Right. Because uh-huh. in school, they don't really teach us a lot about like the causes of things.
Sure.
So basically if you see it's basically the melasma of the eye, but they call it melanosis. And if you look at pretty much every person with dark skin, they always have melanosis on the white part of their eye. And what it looks like is it kind of just looks like melasma, but it's like kind of like the white part is turning brown.
I've seen that.
And they have brown spots. So it's very, very common. And I was always wondering, like, what is this? Then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, that makes total sense. Wow. Melanin is locking up the toxic heavy metals, the toxic iron, to keep it from causing more oxidative stress.
Whoa.
So the melanin production is the most important thing. And that is really what's protecting your eyes. And you see it happening. And that's why darker skinned individuals don't get macular degeneration. They don't get it. It's only happening to light skinned people because we have less melanin.
Wow.
And that's crazy to make that connection for me, because I was always wondering, like, you know, why does everyone have this, right? And, you know, it's just, they say it's just a normal aging change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the connection between the liver and the eyes?
A lot of times when the liver is struggling, we also have, you know, excess estrogen, histamine problems. So basically the liver in Chinese medicine, it's connected to the eyes, and the visual system is connected to the nourishment of the liver blood. So basically insufficient liver blood can cause dry eyes, blurred vision, red eyes, painful eyes, swelling of the eyes. And then also the fact that the liver works with the gallbladder. So you need the gallbladder to excrete excess estrogen and to help detox you. So mm-hmm. if those pathways are blocked up, it's often reflected in the eyes, because the circulation in the liver is connected to the circulation in the eye.
That's a traditional Chinese medicine would call that a stagnant liver, right? Where the blood
liver stagnation. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mentioned to you when we first connected that I had central renal, no, central serous retinopathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that they said, first of all, it's a thing that mostly Asian males get. Mm-hmm. And that one of the doctors I saw said it was from using an inversion table for too long.
Oh, wow.
But now I know, now that I've had it for over 2 years, that I know it's totally stress related completely.
For sure. Yes.
And in fact,
that's interesting that they didn't tell you it was stress related, because that's like the common thought. Like mm-hmm. type A individuals and people who've taken steroids, because steroids really dysregulate blood sugar. So it also has to do with blood sugar imbalances.
Hmm.
Because what the steroids do is they cause high blood levels of corticoids. And so that's involved in the pathogenesis of that disease. But yeah, mainly I would just say support your thyroid for that condition, eating the adequate amount of carbs mm-hmm. to lower the stress hormones. I think aspirin can be super helpful.
It's so interesting that it, you know, the stress related aspect to things, but also, you know, the screen time. You know, I had been tracking my screen mm-hmm. time, and it was scary. What, especially with the phone, I don't know how much worse it is to use a phone. Maybe it's more concentrated mm-hmm. than sitting back from my laptop, you know, mm-hmm. a couple of feet, whereas your mm-hmm. phone, you're right up in your face like that. But it makes me wonder, how do they know how much of an increase in people with needing glasses and eye problems and eye diseases since the inception of the smartphone? I would wonder, I'm sure it's gone up tremendously.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So myopia is actually increasing at like a very alarming rate. And it's totally because of all the smartphones and all the, you know, the smart devices that the kids are on. So yeah, the best thing to do for the kids is just to get them outside, away from all these near devices and near computers, iPads, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It also does create stress on the visual system, just because your eyes and your brain have to use a lot of power to sustain near work. Okay. 'Cause we're just not really meant to be doing it for long periods of time.
Right. Wow. And that's all we're doing. And
that's all we're doing.
My life over the last several years. As far as you doing this, I want to know more about the testing, and for everyone to hear about what makes testing and the work that you do different from the, you know, their optometrist down the street
mm-hmm.
or an ophthalmologist, the difference between those also.
A lot of times, like when you go to the optometrist, they're not really, you know, like they're just kind of doing what they learned in school, which isn't necessarily their fault, right? But mm-hmm. it's just that they don't really teach you in school to look for like the root cause of diseases. Basically, you're just taught, you know, this condition gets treated with this. Mm-hmm. So when you really look, what it comes down to is a lot of times people are not given, you know, the reason why this happened. And then that creates, in turn, they're like, oh, okay, then like, what can I do to fix it? And they're just told, you know, there's nothing you can do, right?
Mm.
So what I do is I basically figure out, you know, the root cause of their eye conditions using bioresonance testing. So it's kind of like energy testing. So basically using someone's hair and saliva, you can expose that hair and saliva to all these different frequencies, and it will tell you where the imbalances are, you know, like what pathogens they've been exposed to that mm. are impacting their eyes. It will tell you like nutrient deficiencies, mineral deficiencies, basically what's causing the stress. And so it's really interesting how like it lines up with blood work, it lines up with HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis, and I do see patterns. Like I do see like a lot of people have iron coming off. A lot of people have zinc deficiencies, selenium deficiencies that are impacting their eyes. I see like different toxins are coming up in people that have like things like thyroid eye disease. I'll see like Lyme toxins coming up. And so it really like takes the guesswork out of it,
mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. And then it really helps me to, you know, help people heal.
that's incredible. So it's kind of like a muscle testing with the saliva, or is there a machine that you use? Like how
yeah,
is that?
So it's done on, you know, a machine, and basically you're like scanning their hair and saliva against tons of different frequencies based off of how the hair and saliva react to that frequency. Okay. Tells you whether or not that's something that's stressing out the system as a whole.
Okay. And does it say anything, does it give any readings or values in regards to hormone levels, or is it mostly just?
Yeah. So okay. I don't usually see like certain hormones coming up on eye scans in particular, because there's like a separate eye scan that I can run. And then there's like a full body scan that I can run. Oh. The full body scan does tell me what hormones are low. But usually on the eye scan, I don't really see certain hormones coming up. Mm-hmm. If stress is really affecting the individual, it'll say like stress toxins. Okay. So I will see that, but I won't see like certain hormone levels unless I do like a full scan on someone.
Cool. And then, so from that, you create like a nutritional protocol for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically it will tell me what supplements even are resonating best with their body.
Oh.
And then it will also tell me like which eye drops are resonating best with their body. Okay. So I can give, you know, recommendations based off of that. But then I also tailor my recommendations to, you know, other things that come up.
Mm-hmm. And for the eye drops, is that something like homeopathic type of eye drops, or what kind of eye drops are you talking about?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different eye drops that I test clients against. So there's like NAC eye drops, so N-acetylcysteine, mm-hmm. Ozonated eye drops. I test them against to see if that might be something that would help them. Mm-hmm. Things like taurine eye drops, just a bunch of different natural eye drops that I've plugged in.
Yeah.
Even things like SKQ1, which is like an antioxidant eye drop, just to see, it helps give me an idea about like, you know, what's most stressing out their eyes as well, depending yeah. on something. If they resonate with a certain eye drop, it also gives me an idea of, you know, what to tackle first mm-hmm. with that client. So yeah.
And are those your combinations of those eye drops, things that you create yourself, or is there a company that makes those?
No, there's different companies that make them. Okay. Maybe eventually though.
Yeah. I mean, look at Georgie Dinkoff. Like he just makes all kinds of stuff. I was doing the methylene blue. I should clarify that. It was not the methylene blue. It was Georgie Dinkoff's Oxtyle. And mm-hmm. it has caffeine in it. And I was super diluting it and making some eye drops. I think I mentioned to you, and it was fine. It was a little burny, but I was like, mm-hmm. man, this stuff really stains.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't make the whites of my eye blue in that way.
Uh-huh.
So I got a little freaked out and thought maybe I should back off from it. Mm-hmm. as eye drops. So I stopped them, but
just were you, you were actually putting the methylene blue into eye drops?
I was putting it into the
sodium chloride. Oh, okay.
And I was like diluting one drop, and then I yeah. was putting it in like, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
so they used to actually use methylene blue as a dye in the eye. So it must be safe in the eye if you think about that, because
yeah.
they actually used to use it to stain dead cells to see like to see if there was like dead cells on the cornea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so it must be safe.
It must be. Like
I was like,
I mean, I don't know about like the long-term, you know, safety of it.
Yeah.
And then there used to be these other, I think they're still around. There was these other eye drops that had methylene blue in them, and they were supposed to get the red out.
Okay.
And they were kind of like marketing them as like a natural get the red out drop, I guess. But then I realized that they had like the same ingredient as like Visine has in it.
Oh, great.
So then I was like, well, it's not really the methylene blue that's getting the red out then.
Yeah.
They're also putting like that other, you know, ingredient in it that's right. not so good, because it causes like a rebound effect where like it will work. But then once it wears off, the blood vessels have to dilate even more. So then it makes it worse.
Oh, interesting.
Hello, quick interruption to tell you about the in-home dried urine Dutch Complete hormone test. It's not enough to just know your levels, high or low, but for example, what are you doing with your estrogen? Is it being pushed down unhealthy, potentially dangerous pathways that could lead to breast or prostate cancer, fibroids, or insulin resistance? Or are you converting your testosterone into estrogen and having hair loss and low libido? Or are your adrenals burnt out and at the root of all your hormonal struggles? No point in guessing. I love this test. I take it once a year and it keeps me on track with my goal of aging gracefully. Use your coupon ED25 as in estrogen dominance 25 and get $25 off your test interpretation and 6-week program of supplement, detox, and dietary recommendations. I have 5 years of experience reading and interpreting this test and was trained by the makers Precision Analytical. Coupled with my gut health expertise, and this program is about as comprehensive as you're going to get. Check it out in the show notes for more details.
So, you know, something I notice a lot in people, including myself, my eyes look so glassy and kind of glassy. And the whites of my eyes look a little bit like,
red.
No, not red, but almost like gray. Like they're not white like they used to be.
Healthy eyes are typically have like minimal redness. A lot of people I see nowadays have like really prominent veins on their eyes too. Mm-hmm. But that can be due to high histamine and high estrogen. Mm. It can also be due to like a lot of people that wear contacts have like the constant red eyes, probably due to like a lack of oxygen because, you know, the cornea gets all of it, most of its oxygen from the air. Mm-hmm. Actually all of its oxygen from the air. And nutrient deficiencies play a role, cellular dehydration, mold and environmental toxins, that can cause, you know, redness, itchiness, watery eyes, gut dysbiosis, toxic heavy metals, pollen. So basically for this, you really have to work on like the histamine because a lot of times you have high histamine. Histamine is decreased by progesterone and magnesium, but it's increased by estrogen and calcium. An overburdened liver and circulation issues.
The liver again.
Yeah, so you got to work on the liver, the gut, things like that. Mm-hmm. And basically, if you think about it, the body is trying to get more blood to the eye for a reason. So anything that's impacting that, the blood circulation and affecting that is going to affect how red the eyes are. Mm-hmm. Even like lack of sleep, a lot of people probably notice if they don't get enough sleep, that's actually when your eyes and your brain detox. So improving the lymphatic drainage will help with that. Vitamin C actually degrades histamine. So upping your vitamin C intake, B vitamins, especially vitamin B6, and just lowering endotoxin. So things like, I like the raw carrot salad. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know about that. Spore-based probiotics are said to help with that. Those are my
toxin.
I mean, the endotoxin plays a role.
When we chatted first, I had mentioned to you that I had been doing some research for a couple of years on the lens replacement surgery. And honestly, I was about to pull the trigger. I had seen 3 different doctors and had talked to 3 different friends who had the surgery and were like, it's the best thing I've ever done. You know, it's very expensive surgery because insurance doesn't cover it. And it's similar to, it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like cataract surgery, except the lens is actually a focal lens that corrects your prescription. Yeah. So tell me, and then you said to me a few things and it literally stopped me in my tracks. I mean, I was ready to make an appointment to have this done and it stopped me in my tracks and I am not going to do it. Can you share with us all that stuff?
The problem with, you know, this surgery is that obviously like it does have its upsides, right? Because like they also have linked like cataract surgery to, you know, better, you know, brain functioning, things like that, just because the visual system is so connected to the brain. So there are cognitive benefits to being able to see clearly. But the problem with it is that they actually, the fake lens, actually has UV light block, and you can't get it without that. So
you can or can't?
You can't. Yeah. Okay. So like all the fake lenses that they implant into the eye block UV light. So the problem is it makes you more susceptible to blue light. And because your natural lens has innate protection in it. So not only does it make you more susceptible to blue light, but it's also interfering with vitamin D synthesis. It's also interfering with, you know, UV light is very important for human physiology. And it's a very important it helps basically your neurotransmitters stay in homeostasis. And unbalanced blue light kind of speeds up biological time in the brain. So it's very important to get UV light. I think an excess of UV light isn't good. But I think just having like unfiltered sunlight in the eyes multiple times a day is going to basically set the body clock and regulate the circadian rhythm. So it's important not to, you know, never see UV light again.
And so that's why sunglasses and contacts also, and glasses can also be harmful, because that they block that same thing that the lens correcting lens surgery did.
And like they basically trick the brain into not creating melanin. And we know why melanin is so important. We just talked about it. But so basically when you don't get UV light, it doesn't tell the body to produce melanocyte stimulating hormone, which is what produces melanin. So you need melanin to actually protect your skin from the sun.
And it sounds like it plays a part in melatonin production as well.
Yes, exactly. So also if you want to make melatonin and you want to have melatonin's like an antioxidant in the body, it's very protective. And if you want to have, you know, a regulated circadian rhythm, have better sleep, better hormones, you really want to be getting that full spectrum light.
So that's one thing for me to say, okay, well, I can just start to do these different types of tasks and exercises and start to, you know, train my brain to not be using glasses, and for me to say, okay, I'm not going to do that surgery. But what about someone who has really bad cataracts, and can anything be done besides the surgery that to correct the already damaged lenses in their eyes?
Yeah. So thyroid and vitamin E are really important to reverse cataracts. Excess calcium causes cataracts. Non-native EMF causes it. Magnesium deficiency is a big cause. So if you're able to like rectify a lot of these culprits, my belief is that you're able to actually reverse mild to moderate cataracts. Very severe cataracts, probably not able to fix that much. It's also related to like excess lactic acid, having low amounts of zinc, low copper. They actually found that people that live at higher altitudes, the cataracts appear later. So carbon dioxide is really important. And we know that we need carbs to make carbon dioxide. So if you have low CO2, that could be an indication that you're not eating enough carbs. Calcium blockers actually prevent cataracts. So that just goes to show how much calcification causes them. Caffeine actually prevents cataracts. Red light helps starve off cataracts because it helps to structure the water in the eye, which helps to give nutrition to the lens. So yeah, there's a lot that can be done to slow and reverse cataracts. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, like, you know, every choice that they make basically affects them some way or another in the future. So I would really just focus on, you know, supporting the thyroid, really just, you know, eating properly and doing all that, and you should have, you know, no problem. It's also been found that, you know, radiation exposure and exposure to steroids causes cataracts earlier, as well as diabetes. So diabetics get cataracts a lot earlier just because of their blood sugar being unregulated.
you know, my mentor, Dr. Robert Marshall of Premier Research Labs, he used to say that it's a really big component is or contributor to cataracts is really poor digestion, that when mm-hmm. we don't have adequate hydrochloric acid to help mm-hmm. and digestive enzymes to help break down the food, that the food goes into our small intestine partially undigested, and that there's all these default mechanisms that our body uses to kind of put out that acidic fire in the gut in order to utilize the nutrition mm-hmm. from the food. And it'll pull minerals from the bones to kind of dampen out that as one of the default. And that when it had that excess mineralization that it pulls from the bones, which puts you in bone loss, it'll mm-hmm. replace, it has to put it somewhere. And he said a common place will be in the joints and in the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the calcification aspect of it. Also, like, vitamin D supplementation probably can't be good for that either, because they say that, like, it can have an impact on calcification.
Interesting. I know, that's such a crazy hot topic, and it's so funny that it's a controversial.
It's really controversial,
and not just a topic of, hey, there's so much valid science from both camps to support both theories. Like, let's just try to maneuver through this in a way instead of demonizing either side, right? But I think that mm-hmm. That's why I only take vitamin D with K, and I only take it when, like, in when I feel under the weather, or mm-hmm. when the weather is, you know, colder and I'm not exposed to sunlight mm-hmm. that as much.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are overdoing it, taking it like every day and like just doing too high doses of it.
Well, that does make sense, doesn't it? That it would contribute to that also. And that Dr. Selig, I don't know if you know who he is. He's this incredible, like, mineral balancing guy who comes from an alchemy perspective. He's a chiro and a naturopath. And he talks about the calcium shell, and he talks about mm-hmm. the way that it kind of comes to get everyone in the end. It's really dramatic and cool when he talks about it.
That's really interesting.
But that calcium shell, that it shows up and, you know, with estrogen and with, like, mm-hmm. you know, the Dowager's hump on women back here, and the thinning of the skin and the hardening of the spine and the fascia mm-hmm. in the back and cataracts, and that it kind of, he calls it the calcium shell. Yeah. What's bad about LASIK and what's good about LASIK?
So with LASIK, I think, so I've done a lot of eye scans on people that have done LASIK, and mm-hmm. their eyes always come up as, like, super stressed. Mm-hmm. So I just think any unnecessary surgery is not good. Like, you're putting a lot of stress on the system. Mm-hmm. The other problem with it is that you're cutting through the corneal nerves. So a lot of people get dry eyes. The flap, it kind of, like, after you make the flap, it never really, like, fully heals. It's just weaker scar tissue that's holding it down. So then, you know, you're at risk if there's ever, like, an injury to the eye, you're at risk of, you know, disrupting that flap again and, you know, really impacting your vision. So, you know, there's a lot of complications with it. It also makes the cornea thinner, and that impacts, like, the intraocular pressure reading that you get when you take someone's eye pressure. Mm-hmm. It can cause, you know, complications, distortions. There are people that have said, you know, LASIK was the best thing ever. And, you know, that's great. But, you know, I think a lot of people don't recognize that there's also risks. And a lot of people really aren't happy after LASIK. Mm-hmm. So it's never my recommendation. But, you know, if someone really wants to do it, you know.
Yeah,
and that's their priority. I mean,
it seems like it's that this way with health in general, isn't it? Like, on my holiday before our podcast, we just got back last night, I really tried to spend as much time not using my glasses as possible. And mm-hmm. and it's amazing. Like, it really, like, one of the days I actually was reading, I could read an entire passage without my glasses. Wow. And I mean, it was super bright. I made sure there was tons of light and I was able to mm-hmm. read the whole thing. And then as I got to the very end, my eyesight went in and out. But mm-hmm. I was saying that's a testament right there that it can be done, and that it's
for
almost
sure.
like crutches, right? I'm using crutches.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you're locking in your vision and you're mm-hmm. not giving it the amount of flexibility that it needs. So, you know, you're also impacting the circulation when you think about that. You're impacting the circulation to the eye because you're locking the lens in a different shape. It's definitely good to become less dependent on them. And one way to do this is to gradually reduce the prescription. And then also practice with the opposite prescription. So if you use, you know, a minus lens, practice viewing the world with a plus lens, because that's what you're weaker at. If you're used to viewing the world through a plus lens and you need that to read, practice using a minus lens, and that will actually strengthen the system that you're weaker at.
So, you know, going back to that, like, you know, you said if people want to get LASIK, they can get it. It's their prerogative.
Yeah.
And it seems like health in general is that way. You know, if you want to, you know, get your gallbladder taken out because your doctor says so, or if you want to be on the insulin, or you want, it just seems like some people, and I've been there where I just want to get it. I just want to feel better, or I just want to see better, or I just want to, and I don't feel like I have the time to do the work. And I don't judge that, but because I've been there, I know. But it seems like all of this stuff, including gut health stuff and mineral balance and hormone balance, there's so much work to be done. And I think that's what puts people off hard.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, you really have to like prioritize something if you want to fix it, which is hard because not everyone has the time, you know, to prioritize certain things. And you really have to pick and choose what you prioritize. And, you know, like it's a conscious choice to make your health a priority. And you just really have to figure out like what's most important to you and what's going to make a difference for you the most in your life. And, you know, for some people, convenience is, you know, what they choose. But in the long run, you know, it's worth it. If you really work at something, because you will, especially with vision improvement, because you will see improvements. And you will, the other benefit to it is that when you reduce stress in the visual system, you're really helping your nervous system to like reacclimate, because we hold like so much stress and tension in our eyes. And think about like how many people have like back tension and shoulder and neck tension. That's pretty much the eyes and like the upper body. That's where most people store most of the tension in their bodies. So when you work with relaxing your eyes and basically learning how to effortlessly see again and not having to struggle to see. So a lot of vision is the only sense that people actively think we have to try for. So like nobody's really sitting there every day like, I'm going to try to hear a little bit better today, or I'm going to try to taste a little bit more today. Nobody really does that. So, but with vision, it's kind of like people have more control over it. So they do think that it is something that they actively think they have to try for, but it really shouldn't be that way. If we really correct bad habits, vision can be more effortless and really reduce stress.
Yeah.
On the system.
That's so good. And you're right. It's so much more rewarding. You know, I've been doing a lot of this new thyroid work, you know, trying to get out of the fight or flight and actively trying to utilize, you know, fuel as energy via thyroid and liver, which is new to me. You know, I've been doing this now for 17 years and this is new to me. I always thought if you have a thyroid issue, then work on your gut. It's all I would ever say. And now I'm myself and like, oh, this is the missing piece. And it is so rewarding. Even then you see other things getting, it feels more healthy. It feels more like you're thriving when all of a sudden you can read something that you couldn't read without your glasses before, or you're sleeping through the night because you're not waking up from adrenaline at 3 a.m, you know? So it's super rewarding, but I do think that one big component is having the guidance, and that's what's exciting about what you do. Cause not a lot of people do what you do. Not a lot of, you know, just like the conventional medical doctors, you go into an ophthalmologist, they're not going to give you this information. They're going to just give you a prescription or suggest a surgery as they do, which is great. That's great that we have that option, but you have a really unique place in the wellness field, which is that, you know, you can help people with their sort of global physiology via the eyes or vice versa, you can help, you know, that's right. Like through the eyes, you can help people with their entire body. And that's
exactly,
very rare.
Yeah. And that's why I love the eyes.
Yeah.
But it's so true that like you, the eyes really do reflect, you know, everything in your overall health. Like you can see even just like how your nervous system is functioning. Like a lot of people, if you have like really big pupils, it can be a sign that you're in fight or flight. And then if on the contrary, if you have really tiny pinpoint pupils, it can be a sign that your parasympathetic nervous system is too active. So I find that super fascinating. And even when I would notice this when I would look at patients that had thyroid problems, the way that their pupils reacted to light, it wasn't really normal. Like they were kind of slow to react to the light, and then they would pulse, like the pupil would pulse a little bit instead of staying closed when you shined a light into it. So I always found, you know, those connections to be really interesting. And it just always fascinates me how much you can really see from the eyes.
What do you think of iridology?
Yeah, so I actually am going to be offering iridology soon. I think it certainly has a place. It can tell you a lot about the gut. So if someone has kind of like a yellowish tint, like right around the pupil, that can often signal gut problems. And you can see a lot about the gut. You can see a lot about general toxicity. So generally, like the more toxic, a patient was, the more markings they would have in their iris. So things like, you know, heavy metals will show up, iron overload will show up in the eye. You can also even see like spinal subluxations by looking at if the pupil is flattened in certain areas. That can show, you know, their spine needs help in a certain area. There's definitely a lot you can see from it. I don't think it's like, you know, my number one, the first thing I want to do with every patient, but I do think it's interesting and it can really glean some important things. You can glean like some easy, really important things about someone's health just from looking at their iris.
That's really fascinating. What about like the white halo? My husband has that around his eye. What is that?
So that is most likely, does he have high cholesterol?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I do too. And I don't have that, but yeah.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's weird. So it's not always high cholesterol, but a lot of times it is. It's associated with, too much like table salt, like not like the good salt, like too much like of the bad kind of salt in your diet. It's associated with like fat and glucose metabolism issues. So basically high amounts of free fatty acids in the blood and insulin resistance. Okay. And it's also associated with thyroid and liver stress.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thyroid always comes back to.
Yeah. Always comes back.
Wow. And then the last thing before we wrap it up, this has just been so informative. I used to do castor packs on my eyes. I don't know why. I would just put the flannel. I put castor oil on them and I would just put it on the eye with a little bit of warm towel. What do you think of that?
I think that's good. Yeah. I mean, I think castor oil can be really therapeutic. I use it in the sauna over my liver area. I've never tried it on the eyes, but I don't see why not. I think it could be beneficial. Yeah.
I read that Cleopatra used to like use it in the way like mascara, like she would put castor oil on her eyelashes to make them darker and longer. But
a lot of people use castor oil for dry eye too. It can be like pretty nourishing. And then you can also do like ozonated castor oil.
Oh, really?
In the eye too. Yeah.
So you can actually put it in the eye. Very cool. Yeah. What else did we leave out? Or is there anything else you wanted to add from my listeners?
I feel like that pretty much covers it. Just basically the other connection with the stress is that a lot of people, if you have like something like TMJ or you clench your jaw a lot, mm-hmm. You most likely can help, like you can help that by actually like learning how to relax your eyes. Because when you learn how to relax your eyes, it helps your whole body relax, including mm-hmm. the pelvic floor and the jaw. So I always like to recommend like those three things together, because the tension in the body, you can really learn how to unwind it. And it really does start with the eyes. So I think everyone could benefit from eye relaxation.
Yeah. And that's all stuff that you help with. So when people reach out to you for the bioenergetic testing to find imbalances, mm-hmm. Working with you in that way, these are things that you can recommend and show people how to do along with the document, the PDF that you sent me, which is so good. And all of these things that can help. Yeah. I love that. Well, this has been super eye-opening. Okay, that was incredible, wasn't it? You have to get in touch with her. Look in the show notes because she offers some pretty cool things. She offers the bioresonance eye scan. It's a 1-hour consultation with the scan, and she recommends types of eye drops and supplements and even food recommendations. She also offers a bioenergetic full body scan in addition to the eye scan, which includes a consultation with recommendation for full body healing. So very exciting, very cool stuff. I'm so glad to see doctors like this really breaking into the world of, you know, the root causes of these types of things. So this is very exciting, and I hope she is the future for, you know, doctors. We need the same for dentists. You know, we need a lot of really wonderful bio dentists that don't just treat your teeth, right? They treat the whole body. They don't separate them. They're not compartmentalized. Those days are over, friends. You can't just go to a specialist. You have to go to a doctor who understands how whatever it is you're getting looked at works in alignment with the rest of your body, with all your systems in the whole body. It's so important. Gut health and the endocrine system and mineral balance, these things are vital if you want to get well. Don't forget about the Dutch test and that coupon that I'm offering, which is ED25, and get $25 towards the Dutch test that you can get right now. The information is in the show notes, and we will talk to you soon.